Well, we're continuing our series called Ask It, and Pastor Jake introduced us to a life-changing question that we can ask. Ask it, if anybody remembers what is it, what's the question that we're asking? Three powerful words? Is it wise? And just think about how that would change all the different areas of our life if we asked that question, is it wise before we spent money? Is it wise before we put something on our calendar? How that would change our lives. Is it wise? I want to focus today on a question, on that question, in one specific area of our lives, and that's when it comes to wisdom in our relationships. But before we do, let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray. I believe that the Holy Spirit has a word for us this morning. Amen. Well, Father, we want to come before you today, and in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would speak to us. We invite that. We ask for it. And Lord, we're all coming from different places. Some of us, the week has been fantastic. It's been a great start to the new year. For the others of us, it feels like we're treading water or we're walking through the valley. And the great thing about your word is that no matter where each of us are coming from, your word will speak to each one of us in just the way that we need it. And so we ask that you would do that. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. All of God's people said, amen. Amen. Let me go ahead and give you just a simple, I think a profound statement. I'd love it if you wrote it down. It's this, that you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You show me the people that you spend the most time with and I'll show you the trajectory of your life. In fact, Solomon wrote about this in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. He's the wisest man that ever lived. He said, you walk with the wise and what happens? You will become wise. But the other side of that is, but a companion of fools, what happens? They suffer harm. In other words, you hang out with people who are better than you, that are wiser than you, that have better marriages than you, that they're better at handling their finances than you, and you're going to rise to their level. But the opposite is also true, that if you're hanging out with people that are going down the wrong path, that are just stationary in life, they're not going anywhere, they don't have any purpose, then they're going to affect you, because none of us grow in isolation. We're deeply affected by the people that we spend time with. You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. And in fact, as I just think about my life, the different areas that I've experienced success are all directly related to the people in my life at that time. It's the right people that God has placed in my life at the right time that's led me to the right decisions or directions. And just as a small example, I remember in high school, I was just consumed with basketball. But part of the reason that I got so good at basketball in high school was because I had friends that were better at basketball than I was. In fact, one of my good friends, his dad was an Olympic athlete, and he would just take me and his son, and he would just run us through drills over and over, just these little nuances of our game, and it made me a better basketball player. The opposite is also true, that you grow when you're with people that are positively influencing you, but how many of you also know that we don't get in trouble by ourselves either? I remember when I was in Bible college, you wouldn't think that anything wrong would happen in Bible college. But I was a junior in college, and I remember me and my roommate, we thought that it would be a great idea to play a prank on all of the girls on campus. And so we decided we were going to wake up at 3 in the morning, and we were going to go around to all of the girls' dorms and duct tape all of the doors shut so nobody could get out of their dorm room. And we thought it was a great idea. And so we got up 3 in the morning. We're giggling like little girls and going around duct taping the dorm rooms. And we went back to bed and we woke up early because we just wanted to watch and see what was going to happen. And so we watched, and all of a sudden we saw like panic around the campus. Like the resident directors were all running around trying to figure out what was going on. And my roommate, his boss, who was the resident director, he was an RA. His boss was a resident director. He pulled Andrew into the office. He was like, we've got to find out who did this. And Andrew was dating his daughter. And he didn't put up any fight. He was like, it was me and Justin. It was us. And I was ASB vice president. He was an RA. And we didn't just get in a little bit of trouble. Apparently, it's a fire hazard or something like that. We got suspended from Bible college. We rarely succeed alone, and we rarely get in trouble alone. You know why? Is you show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. And the great thing about this principle is you could be a teenager, you could be 20, you could be 60, you could be 80 years old, and if you're alive, that means that you've got a future. And God wants to maximize that future by the people in your lives, the relationships that you have. So here's what I want to do to build a foundation for us this morning is I want to talk to you a moment about just the closest friends that you have. And if you would, on your message notes, you've got a list of five spots there. And I would, just without thinking about it too deeply, don't put your spouse on there, but the people that you spend the most time with, just go ahead and write those names down. And as you're writing those names down, these are the people that you would, if you want to hang out with somebody, you're going to give them a call. If you want to do something, you're going to call these people up. And as you're writing these names down, let me tell you something that sociologists, that leadership experts have been telling us for years, and it's this principle that you are the average of your five closest friends. That you are the average of your five closest friends. You write those names down and you watch that financially, in your marriage, physically, that you're probably right in the middle of the pack of those people that you spend the most time with. So if you look at that list and you're pursuing God and you've got a passion for the Lord and you're using your gifts to benefit the church and you're growing, that probably on that list is going to be three or four people that are passionately pursuing the God, that are active in the church. You're going to be in the middle there. You're going to be the average of your five closest friends. And so as you look at that list and the people that are on your list, just the natural question rises, are you being wise in your relationships? Are you being influenced by the right people? Do you want to become like the people that you're hanging out with? Or would you look at it and say, you know, if I really wanted to honor the Lord with my life, or if I really wanted to get better in my finances, or if I really wanted to have a strong marriage relationship, or I really want to be stronger in these areas, man, I don't have the right influences around me, because you're the sum total of your five closest friends. So you think about it. You want to have a good marriage? Are you hanging around with people that have great marriages? You want to be a great parent? Are you hanging around other parents that are great parents? You want to be stronger financially? We're not just talking about wealthy, but are you hanging around with people that are living by strong financial principles? Are you hanging out with these kinds of people? You want to be in better shape? Are you hanging around with competitive eaters? I mean, what are the people that you're hanging around with like? You show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. That you are in almost every area of your life the average of your five closest friends. And here's the great thing is that if you don't like the direction of your life, then you change the influences on your life. If you don't like the trajectory of where your life is headed, then look around your life and who is influencing you, and just ask God, am I being influenced by the right people? And so what's the wise thing to do when it comes to our relationships? Well, the obvious answer is this. The wise thing is to surround ourselves with great influences. What I want to do for the rest of our time together is just identify three influences every person needs to have. And I think that for most people, we all are missing probably at least one of these relationships in our lives. In order to look at these three influences, I want to look at the life of King David from the scriptures. And I want you to see how he was deeply influenced by three men, and how these three men and how they interacted with David in his life shaped the trajectory of David's life and helped him to become the man that God was calling him to be. The first one that we're going to look at is the influence that Samuel had on David's life. And if you're taking notes, you can write this in, that we all need a friend who makes us better. We all need a friend who makes us better. Let me give you a little bit of context here, because in this time, King Saul was the first king of Israel, and he had been rejected as being king over Israel because of his rebellion against God. And so God removed his spirit from Saul and placed it on David, and he told Samuel the prophet to go to the house of Jesse and to anoint one of his sons. And so Samuel went to the house of Jesse and said, I'd like to see your sons. God is going to anoint one of them to become the next king of Israel. And so Jesse brought all of his sons before him, and Samuel looked at the oldest son and he said, surely this is the man. He's tall, he's handsome, he's wise, he's smart, he's got all that it takes. Surely this is the man. And God said, nope, that's not the one. And so Jesse brought the next son, and Samuel thought it was him, and God said, nope, that's not the one. And God said something deeply profound to Samuel. In fact, it's on the screens behind me. It says that the Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And so Samuel looks at Jesse and says, don't you have any more sons? We've gone through all of your sons. Don't you have any more? And Jesse says, well, yeah, I've got one more, but he's the youngest son. He's out in the fields watching the sheep. I mean, in other words, I didn't even think that he was worthy enough to bring in front of you. But God saw something in the runt of the family, this little young David, who is out tending sheep that nobody else saw. And he put it on Samuel's heart. And this is what the Lord said, 1 Samuel 16. It says, rise and anoint him. This is the one. And so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And what's interesting to me about this story is that there wasn't a single person in David's life that saw in David what God allowed Samuel to see in David. There was nobody else in David's life that says, hey, David, I see something in you. God's going to do something great. And nobody else was like that. His own dad didn't even bring him before Samuel. And yet Samuel, God allowed Samuel to see something. And Samuel said, David, God can do more in your life than you can ever imagine. Now, here's the thing for most of us who are our friends. For most of us, it's the people that we grew up with. It's the people that we bump into in the daily rhythms of life, that we work out with, that we go to work with, that we go to school with. But the question that we have to ask is, do they make you better? Do they make you better? I'll give you an example. When Sarah and I were living in Massachusetts, it was our first time being senior pastors, and when we moved there, we had never done it before, so I thought, you know, I really need a mentor to figure out how to do this. My dad had done a great job, but he wasn't there with me to kind of walk me through the ropes, and so I just started calling up all of the pastors that seemed to be making a significant difference in their communities, saying, hey, would you meet with me? Hey, I've got some questions. Would you talk through these things with me? And I got to talk with some of these great pastors, but there was one pastor, and to this day, I think he's the greatest pastor in New England. He's got one of the larger churches, but more importantly, they've planted 6 churches. They're making an incredible difference in their community. He said, yeah, I'll meet with you. And he sat down with me, and I just asked him question after question. And then I got to meet with him again, and then I did some training with him, and he became my mentor. And then their church, Grace Church, became our mentoring church, and I remember one conversation that Pastor Sean Sears had with me. He was in our kitchen, sitting at our dining room table, and he looked at me and he said, there is one thing that's holding you back, and that's you always second guess yourself. You have got to lead with confidence. And he spoke something into my life that made me better, not just in that season, but in my leadership even to this day. See, God used him to speak something into my life and made me better. And I want to ask you, do you have people or do you have somebody in your life who helps make you better in the things that matter most? Do you have somebody that looks at you that can say, you know, I see something in you that you don't see, that, hey, you need to go for it, that you need to have faith for this, or you need to try this, or you need to apply for this, somebody that makes you better? Do you have a friend that makes your marriage better? I mean, if you're hanging out with a bunch of people that have bad marriages, that's going to affect your relationship with your spouse. You show me your friends and I'll show you your future. If you're hanging out with a bunch of people that are always putting Twinkies in their shopping cart, you're not going to get in better shape because you're impacted by the people that you spend time with. If you want to become a better leader, if you want to be better with finances, then you've got to hang out with people that challenge you to become better. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. This is a verse that maybe many of you have memorized. It says, as iron sharpens iron. Let's say this last bit together. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. So we all need somebody that sharpens us, that makes us better. David had that in Samuel. The second thing is that David had a friend named Jonathan. And we all need, if you're taking notes, we all need a friend who makes us stronger. We need a friend that makes us better. We need a friend that makes us stronger. That every single one of us, as we follow Jesus, have you noticed it's not very easy to follow Jesus in this culture? As Pastor Jake talked about last week, if we just picked up our feet and went with the flow of culture, we're going to end up in some place that we don't want to end up. And so following Jesus is a countercultural decision. And we need people in our life that will help us find strength in the Lord, that will strengthen our faith. And we need a friend that helps strengthen us. And so let me fast forward in David's story. He is anointed the next king. he becomes a war and military hero, and now all the ladies start to notice David. And instead of singing songs about Saul, they're singing songs about David. And Saul doesn't like that. He starts to get jealous. He starts to become threatened. And he decides that he thinks that David is after his throne. And he needs to take David out. And so the king decides to try to kill David. And we pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 23. It says this. It says, while David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son, this is his very own son, Jonathan, went to David at Horesh, and watch what he did. It says he helped him find strength in God. He helped him find strength in God. And I'm telling you that every single one of us, we need friends who help us find spiritual strength, because I don't care how mature you are, every single one of us gets tempted. Every one of us makes decisions that aren't wise. Every one of us goes down the wrong path. And we need somebody that will come in and make us stronger and help us find strength in our God. We need somebody that when everybody else walks out, somebody walks in. It says, I'm not just going to pray for you. I'm going to pray with you, and I'm going to be with you, and helps us find strength in the Lord. We need somebody who challenges us to grow in what matters most, that looks at us and say, hey, what's your plan this year for growing spiritually? Hey, what's your plan in this season to invest in your marriage? Hey, what's the season? What's your goal this season to get better in this area? So we all need somebody who challenges us to grow in what matters most. And so let me ask you, do you have somebody in your life that helps you find spiritual strength? And then number three, if you're taking notes, this is Nathan in the life of David. The third type, if you're taking notes, is that we all need a friend who makes us wiser. We all need a friend that makes us better and stronger, and third is wiser. We're talking about a friend that is willing to tell us the truth with love. Wisdom is the opposite of foolishness. Wisdom is choosing the best decision out of a multitude of decisions. Wisdom is choosing right over wrong, and we need somebody that helps us to choose what is best, who speaks life into us. And here's what happened to David. If you know the story, he was a man after God's own heart, and God was pleased with him. And then he took his eye off of the Lord and put his eye on Bathsheba, and he committed adultery. He broke the heart of God and put the whole kingdom at risk because the leader wasn't leading. And David didn't see the gravity of what he'd done. And God sent a man named Nathan to go and tell him the truth. And Nathan sat down with David and said, hey, David, let me tell you a little bit of a story. And he tells him this story that there was once a poor man, and the poor man had a small sheep. And he loved this sheep. He cared for the sheep. He treated the sheep like it was his own son or daughter. Let the sheep sleep in the house and everything. One day, a traveler came into town and visited a wealthy man in town. And this wealthy man had a lot of sheep. And yet, instead of sacrificing one of his own sheep, he went to this poor man, took his only sheep, slaughtered that sheep, and fed it to this traveler. David, the king at this point, was furious and says, that man is going to die. And Nathan looked at David and says, you are that man. That's you. That's what you've just done. And Nathan loved David enough to tell him the truth, that he divided the line in David's life between what was right and the direction that David was headed. And suddenly David saw what he hadn't seen before, and he was brokenhearted before God. And you can go ahead and read Psalm chapter 51 and watch what happens as David repents. This is the prayer right after he was confronted by Nathan and told him the truth. And I would ask you, when is the last time that somebody, that you had a friend that loved you so much to tell you that you were headed the wrong direction? You had a friend that said, hey, if you keep spending time alone with that person, it's going to ruin your marriage. If you keep working overtime and neglecting your kids, then they're going to choose a father or mother figure that's not you, and you're not going to like the consequences. When's the last time somebody looked at you and told you the truth with love? And let me just say this for a moment, because I think this applies to many of us, is that the threat and the challenge is that many of us won't become who God is calling us to become because we're relationally impoverished. We don't have these kinds of people speaking into our lives. We're not walking with wisdom when it comes to relationships. We don't have people around us that will make us better or stronger or wiser, or people that will call us out when we're off track. See, you show me your friends, and I promise you, I'll show you your future. And for some of you, when you look at your list of friends, the trajectory of your life is going to go in a direction that you don't want it to go. It's going to go into habits that you don't want to form. It's going to go into relational conflict that you don't want to have, and your friends are contributing to that. For some of you, your friends aren't going to lead you to these major bad habits, but they're going to lead you to more of the same because they're not getting better and they're not growing and they're not advancing, so you're not going to either. You don't have these influences in your life and just what's more of the same? Well, more of the same for some of us, it's not living with clarity or with purpose, or it's living a lukewarm or a half-hearted commitment to Jesus, or it's a self-centered life that's more about accumulating things than what we could give with our lives. And for some of us, here's the good news. Some of us, the Holy Spirit's going to speak to us in such a way that you're going to intentionally seek out people who will make you better, stronger, and wiser. Because the truth is that every single one of us could be one influence away from the breakthrough that we so desperately want. We may be one friend away from having the marriage we always dreamed about. We may be one influence away from being the parents that we always wanted to be. We could be one friend away from getting past the addictions that have been in our family for years. We could be one friend away from better learning how to care for our body so that we can see our grandkids grow up and be an influence in our grandkids' lives. You could be one friend away from tapping into the power of what God wants to do through you in this church or through this community and using your gifts to make a difference for the kingdom of God. You could be one friend away from waking up with a divine purpose and living for a higher calling. You could be one friend away. But I'll tell you, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. As some of you may ask, will say, well, what do I have to do to get a friend like this? I don't have a friend that's making me better or stronger or wiser. What do I have to do? Well, you do what the greatest philosophers have told us to do, our mothers. In order to have a friend like that, you've got to be a friend like that. See, to have that kind of friend, you've got to be that friend. And so what are you going to do? You're going to help other people get better. You're going to challenge them and speak the truth with love to them. And you're going to look at them and say, you know what, I see something in you. That you've got a gift, that you've got a calling, that you need to take this step of faith. And that God can do so much more through your life. And you're going to speak encouragement and life. And you're going to make them better and stronger and wiser. Because Solomon was right. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend does to his friend. Or you walk with the wise and you become wise, but a companion of fools, you don't want to go there. It'll turn out bad. See, the only way you get friends like that is to choose to be a friend like that. And so the question is, not just who are you pursuing to have that kind of influence on your life, but who are you making better? Who are you strengthening and helping them to find strength in God? Who are you speaking the truth and love to? Who are you being that kind of friend to? When it comes to the wisest thing in relationships, the challenge for each of us is to be that kind of friend for other people and to seek those kind of relationships for ourselves. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray this morning.